Good evening, class. Well, we get a chance to do our next class, part two of our class on authority. We taught on the scriptures in Romans 13 last week, and this week we're going to move on to what I promised to deal with, the first chapter of Hebrews, the third verse. We're going to wind up this scripture. Then we're going to get some textbook notes so we can understand and put these things into some kind of an outline. Form so you can keep up with what we're doing here. So Hebrews 1 verse 3, we're still dealing with authority. We're still dealing with understanding how God's throne is established. But we're about to define this authority in God's point of view here. And we're about to see this in a different perspective, because this scripture helped me over the years to understand what authority really is. All right? Now, pay close attention with me to what we're about to say, because I'm going to say a couple of things. It's not meant to be tricked. It has to be understood, because of what we're about to say. It might sound like it's a little bit saying the same thing, but I'm not. I'm going to show you the difference between power and authority, okay? I promise we'll go a little more in depth. And so this class here, I hope you take a little more notes, because we introduced some things last week. And this week here, we're going to really try to deal with some of the intricates of what authority is and how God's throne is established on that authority. So Hebrews 1, we're going to begin at verse 1, and we're going to make our way down to the third verse. And it says in verse 1, God, who at sundry times or different times, and I'm reading our King James Version, in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, he's talking about, if you go back in the history book of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, you're going to find out when God was dealing with the children of Israel, dealing with Moses in the wilderness, in the desert, that what God's MO was, how God dealt with the people. Well, in the Old Covenant, it says he dealt with the people, the fathers, by the prophets. And so the prophets at this time were God's spokesman and God's authority through his spoken word to them. They relayed God's message to the people. The people couldn't hear God for themselves, because Jesus at that time had not yet ascended to the cross and gave us the spirit of himself after his resurrection. Now, it said God at sundry or different time and different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, the second verse said, had in these last days, we're talking about in the days after the Christ, or the days of Christ, when after the last book of the Old Testament, beginning with Malachi and beginning with the birth of Christ, and or what we call the New Testament. And so, had in these last days spoken to us by his Son. We know who the Son is. Who he had appointed heirs of all things. Everybody say all things. Jesus was declared to be the heir of all things. And in another way of saying that, he gave Jesus all authority. Remember Jesus said, all power had been given to me in heaven and in earth. Well, that's what we're talking about. Jesus was Lord of all. Who Lord appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now we're talking about the word. Now we're talking about, you got to be a little diversified, class, because I need to go to John 1 and 12. If you don't mind, turn your Bible to John 1 and 12. I told you that I'm going to go to different scriptures And these scriptures are not totally in our textbooks references, but in this class, I have to teach it more in depth so you can understand in depth. Are you with me? All right. Now, John 1 and 12, everybody knows what John 1 and 12 says, I'm sure, or have heard it. John 1 and 12 said, well, not 1 and 12. Let's see, 1 and 1. Now, 1 and 12 is the result of John 1 and 1. It said, in the beginning was the Word, that was Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we're talking about the Trinity here. That was the divine Trinity, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, or the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My point for going here is showing that Jesus is the Word of God. And by that Word, God declared the heaven and the earth. God created the heaven and the earth. God created the heaven and the earth. God thought of creation. And through God creating, he used the spoken word to create it. And the Holy Spirit became the manifester of creation. So the Trinity was involved in creation. The Father, which is the Creator, he created it by speaking the Word of God, and the Word created the world, and the Holy Spirit manifested. Well, you're going to see as we go. And I know a lot of you understand what I'm saying. And the same was in the beginning with God. You see it? And the first verse says, in the first verse says, the same was God. All right? Now, let's go back to Hebrews 1 and 3. I want you to see that the Word was the Creator here. The Word did the creation. Jesus created the heaven and the earth. All of creation, nothing made, he said, was I made without him. I didn't want to waste too much time going in there. All right. He said, had in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed the heir of all things, by whom also he created the world, that's the heaven and earth, who being the brightness of his glory. Jesus was the brightness of God's glory. Now, in other words, my ways of saying this is that if you want to know what God was like, look at Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus showed us or exemplified who God is in character and word and action. Jesus, everything that God is. So he told Philip, if you have seen me, Philip said, show the Father that it may suffice us, may satisfy us. Jesus said, you have been with me all this time, and yet you have not known me. When you have seen the Father, seen me, you have seen the Father also. And now, I'm going through all that to let you know that Jesus was the creative power of God. All right? He was the Creator. And so the Word creates. The Word creates, I said. Now, I'll say all that to get to this third verse, because that's what this whole lesson here about is. It's the third verse. And the third verse says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things, there it is, by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now look, let's look at your book, lad, and we will get a textbook understanding of Hebrews 1 and 3 here. It said the acts of God. If you look in your book, follow me. We're on the first lesson under God's throne established on authority. You can underline some things in your book, highlight it, whatever you do, but it helps bring things and keep things in your memory. The act of God. Well, what is the act of God? The act of God is God performance. God performance is God's action. Another good scripture. Now, I'm giving you these scriptures so you can research it and understand better because we're still in introductory form of this class. Go to, if you turn your Bible to Psalm 103 and 7, you're going to see what the psalmist spoke. I got it in my Bible here. Let me pull it up right quick. I saved this spot because I know I'll be going here. Turn to Psalm 103, verse 7, and you're going to see this exactly what I'm saying here. I'm going to give you a moment to get there. Okay, the moment is up. He said, He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts. You see it? His acts unto the children of men. In other words, God's acts was his action. His ways was his position of his authority. Moses understood God's authority, but he showed his acts or his ways unto Moses. And therefore, when he did that, you understand that the acts and ways are totally different. Authority, which we might classify as his power, and his authority are two different things. And that's my point here. We're going to explain how authority and power are two different things. I don't intend to confuse you, and I don't want you to be confused, class. So I'm going to take my time and go through this a little bit because that is so important that you understand this particular point. And I might stay here for a moment. Go back to your textbooks here. The acts of God issue from his throne, and his throne is established on his authority. Well, the throne represents authority because that's where God is seated on his throne, and the throne is the position of authority. See, God is authority, and everything else is the delegation of authority. So when we say God, we need to think authority, the authority. When we say God, we need to think about this word sovereignty. Overall, nothing above him, nothing below him, nothing around him that could even come close to being equal with God. There's no other God but God. God is the only truth. So he is the authority, class. And I know you know that, but I'm trying to stress it. So you know that his throne is the position of the authority. So all things are created through God's authority. And all physical laws of the universe are maintained by his authority. You see, this scripture say in his word. I'm going to read that scripture again, the second verse. And the third verse. And he being the brightness, talking about Jesus, he's talking about the word, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person. Everything that God is like is Jesus was like. He's the express image of his person, and he upholds or maintains. See, the whole earth revolves upon an axle, and nothing has changed since creation. No scientists try to get involved and say the earth is changing, but God's still in control of this whole system here. God's still in total control. I don't care what science says. See, everything is maintained by God's authority. The sun still sets and rises. Still night and day. Still seed time and harvest. God still remains the same. Nothing changed. Nothing changed until God changes it. We say one day heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so man may be destroying some things, but God's foundational creation has never changed and never will until God says so. So upholding or maintaining all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of majesty. Now let's go back to the textbook. So all the laws, physical laws of the universe are maintained by his authority. What's physical law? The law of gravity, for instance. That the law of gravity is created by God. Man don't understand it, and man can't control it. Man can't tell the sun when to go down and when to rise. And so those things are God governed. You see? Hence, the Bible, and this I'm getting to the point now where I want you to be able to understand, discern what I'm saying here. And so I'm going to take my time. So, hence, the Bible expressed it as upholding all things by the word of his power, which means upholding all things by the word of the power of his authority. You see, because I'm going to read the next verse. For God's authority represents God himself, whereas his power stands only for his act. Now, that's what I told you, class. Power and authority, they're two separate entities. God is authority himself. You see it? Whereas his power stands only for his act. So, let me put it in our term we can understand. When God said, let there be light, God's authority spoke light into existence, and the release of his word became his act, which is we consider his power. I'm going to say it again. When God said, let there be light, he released the word, let there be light, and that was part of the creator's ability. Well, that release created and became the act or release of his authority, which is power. So a good definition is power is the release of God's authority. Write that down. God's power becomes the release of his authority, which becomes his act. You see it? I go back to Hebrews 1 and 3. He showed his ways unto Moses. Moses understood his authority, but he showed his acts unto the children of Israel. This saw the result of his authority. Maybe that might help. The children of Israel saw the result of God's authority when Moses took the rod and pointed into the Nile River, and it became blood. That's the act of his authority. You see, when Moses reached his rod out unto the Red Sea, and it began to divide and became a wall on each side, that's the act which was a release of his word, and it was a showing of God's authority. See, authority has to have a release. Remember Jesus said in the eighth, we're going to get down there, but I'm trying to paint a broader picture. This man in the eighth chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, I'm also a man of authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goeth. I release my authority through saying. And so when he go, that's the release of my authority, which is an act of authority, showing the power of my word. And so that's why he understood Jesus. He said, just speak the word only and my servant will be healed. Because natural authority and spiritual authority are almost synonymous. In the spirit realm, when God speaks, he releases his ability, which is his power. And he goes forth and brings forth manifestation, which is a result of his word or is his authority. His act is a result of his spoken word, which show forth his authority. When they saw that, they saw authority. When Pharaoh saw all the people drown, but when the walls came crashing, or water came crashing down on his people, he saw authority, man. What kind of God is this? You see it? The disciples saw Jesus' authority when Jesus spoke unto the water in the boat, peace be still. What manner of man is this? What kind of authority is this? he speaks, and nature bow down and submit itself to him. You see, I'm trying to say these things so you can see that God is authority. When he speaks, his word become a release of that authority, which become his act or the show of his power. So power and authority are two different things. Power is only the release or the results of God's authority. I see a lot of things to try to get you to see that. Hope you understand. So God's power is not authority, but it's the release of his authority. Are you with me? I think I've said enough to get you to understand. I hope you do, because that's important. Because power, sometimes people think power means authority, and sometimes they think authority means power. You see it? No. Authority comes from God. Power is a release of that. All right. Now, let's read out the book a little bit. I took time to explain that, and I hope you got it. All right. Now, I want you to get to this part so you can understand. Here's this statement here. Underline this statement here in your book or put it in your notes, because you're going to see it on my quiz. You know, when I tell you underline something, it's a quiz thing, because that's a high point I want you to remember, and so you can understand it. So when I say this question, what most either forgiven, sin against power or sin against authority, I want you to be able to answer that correctly. And I don't want you to be confused, and I don't want you to think it's a multiple choice or any, meaning, mighty move. Now, I want you to know it. You see it? Now, watch this. Sin against power. We're going to see why I took so much time trying to explain this statement. Because sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority. Now, we're going to find out. See, what is sin against power? Sin against his word. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not take thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not lie. In other words, the laws and commands of God become his power, because it's the release of his authority. You see, what God has spoken is not what who he is, but it's his release of his power, his command, what he desires for us to keep us under authority, under his authority. His words keep us under his authority. So when God speaks a command to us, that's keep us under that authority. It's the result of who he is. And so sin, underline this, against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority. Why? Because sin against authority, I'm changing the word latter, because the latter is a sin, or sin against authority is a sin against God himself. You see it? Sin against authority, when you sin against authority, you sin against who God is. Now, we say, what is a sin against authority? When you come directly against God, not his word. And what we call that is when you rebel. Rebelling, you don't rebel against his word, even though you think you are, but you're rebelling against God himself. Remember the scripture says you're a rebellious people, stiff-necked over in Samuel, because the people's heart was hard, and even the children of Israel's heart became hard. They rebelled against God because they didn't want to obey Moses. See, Moses was a representative of God. And so when we rebel against delegated authority, oh, listen to what I'm saying. You rebel against God himself, because you rebel against those who represent God's authority. They're not the authority, but they're representative of authority. And they talk and speak in God's stead. They say what God say. So when you rebel against delegated authority, you sin against God himself. Then God got to judge it, because you're operating on the principle of rebellion. I still like that statement. I can't say that again. Not the same way. But my point is that you have to separate and understand sin against authority and sin against power is two different things. That's why I spend so much time trying to get you to understand the difference between sin and power and authority. I hope you understand that. Well, let me read this one more time here. I got to read this one more time. I'm going to start with this statement here. Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority, because I'm going to change this latter. He's only talking about authority. Because sin against authority is a sin against God himself. See, you can write in that book. In that book, write, because sin against authority. And that's what you're talking about. So if you see it that way on your test, when I say sin against authority is a sin against God himself, and I put true or false, don't you put false, because that's true. Sin against authority, you see it? Sin against authority. Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority, because sin against authority is a sin against God himself. Now why? As we go on, it's gonna progress, or we're gonna progress. Now watch. Look at this next statement. See, I told you we're gonna get a little deeper lessons as we go further and further. So just stick with me. Stick with me. You're gonna understand, and then you're gonna get down into your heart, and you're gonna know what I'm saying. See, and I go over and over so I don't confuse you with it, because this is important here. Because it's a difference between knowing when you're speaking a word and it's become a word of sin or a word of rebellion. You see it? You don't want to be a rebellious person. Sin, God can forgive. Because, you know, you make a mistake. You say, if you confess your sin, you're faithful, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, he's not talking about rebellion. He's talking about sins of the flesh. He's not talking about you coming against God. He's talking about habitual. He's talking about just sin. Just sin. When you messed up. When you don't say things right to your wife or to your husband. When you lie. When you don't mean to lie. You get under pressure to lie, and then you realize, man, I didn't tell the truth. I didn't tell the whole truth. Well, half truth is a lie. If you just tell Paul the truth, it's still a lie. That's still sin. You still got to repent behind that. And see, so what I'm saying is. Yeah, but we want to fine tune our walk with God. We ain't been what do we used to do? Skip hopping. Remember when we were children, we just skip hop. It's time for the church to stop skip hopping. You know, going around the merry-go-round, round and round we go. Where we stop, nobody know. No, it's time for the church to stand up and be a church. It's time for a church to get all these little spots and wrinkles out. Jesus is coming back soon. And we got to walk more accurately in the Spirit and in the Word. Now, listen to the part here. God alone is authority in all things. Underline that. God alone is authority. Nobody, there's no other God but God. That God is the authority. Fear God. Don't fear man. Fear God. See, Jesus said, fear God who can destroy both the soul and the body. He was talking about that one time. You don't be afraid of somebody who can destroy the soul, but just be afraid of them who can destroy the soul and the body in hell. You see, oh man, God got authority. God's full of authority. And all the authorities of the earth are instituted by God. Authority is a tremendous thing in the universe. Nothing overshadows it. It is therefore imperative for us who desire to serve God to know the authority of God. I thought that was a pretty good introduction on what authority and who authority is, because it put us in a position where we understand it, so we can know more about it, so we can walk, like Paul said, circumspectly and not as fools, discerning the time, because the days are evil. And as the day become evil, the more important it is that we be able to become understandable of what these things that we're talking about. Pay close attention to all your instructors. Because you're going to find out that all these lessons are going to be interwoven and because this school that apostle has, it's a supernatural school, apostolic. It's an apostolic school, and you're just gonna get blessed as you go, and I know you will. Just pay attention. Now, I'm gonna try to just go a little bit into this section here on the origin of Satan, because when we go to the origin of Satan, we'll find out that Satan is the original or origin of sin, not only sin, but the worst thing is rebellion. He's the origin, he's the originator of rebellion. And that's the whole thing. That's the foundation of what we are trying to accomplish in these few weeks here, that you understand how important it is to be subject unto God-given authority. And I explained earlier, we're not talking about control. We're talking about willing obedience. And you have to come to the place. Why? Why we have to understand this class so much? Because as spiritual leaders, when God gives us direction through our spiritual leaders, God wants us to be able to function properly as a unit. If you're not, how divided should not stand? Jesus said that. And so if you're not functioning as a unit, then we're not going to ever accomplish what God designed to accomplish to fulfill his plan upon the earth. God has a divine plan. So when your spiritual leader gives orders, or direction from God, just the way we're going, if you don't understand and respect his authority, his delegated authority, then you're going to go your own way. Because you're not going to comply. You're not going to submit. You're going to be going in another direction, and then you don't become useful to the plan of God then. But if you see, this school is for those that are seriously designed to be everything God wants them to be and to follow God with everything in full purpose. God have a purpose for everything he does and everything he says. And so I watch apostles so close over the year that I find out how God is functioning by the way he functions. I find out what God is doing by the direction he gives us. And so I've learned to trust my spiritual leader. And I learned to submit myself to him wholeheartedly and comply to whatever he wants to do. Because he's listening to God. And you got to trust your spiritual leader that they're listening to God. Now, we're talking about the origin of Satan. Now, we're going to go back to a little history, because there's a scripture that we're going to look at in this chapter here of the book that's going to let us see how Satan's origin was developed and how he fell and how it affected us as children of God. All right? The archangel turned into Satan when he overreached God's authority, competed with God, and became an adversary of God. You see, notice what happened. He became an adversary of God. But he did turn into Satan. See, Satan, which is Lucifer, was one of the most beautiful angels that existed that God had created. He was one of God's creation. There were three archangels, and each one of them functioned in different capacity, and each of them had a third of the angels under their authority. It was Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. There were three archangels, and God had given them specific authority. And so Satan, as we're going to find out, he began to compete with God. And therefore, he competed with God. And guess what? When you compete with God, you're going to lose. He thought he was equal with God. And so he pulled out with a third of the angels. And so as an archangel, he fell. And because of his fall, it affected the whole plan of God. And then after that, God in his creative mind, he already knew Satan was going to fall, but God chose not to see your fall. God knows when people error, but he chose not to see your error. Because God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and he's omniscient. Those three things, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Omnipotent means he's all knowing. Omniscient means he's all knowing, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, and omnipotent is all powerful. That's all deal with the sovereignty of God. Nothing above him, nothing below him, nothing around him can even be touched his authority. So, the archangel turned into Satan when he overreached God's authority, competed with God, and thus became an adversary of God. And we're going to find out just how he overreached God's authority. He overreached it, and we're going to find the scripture that talk about it. So I'm going to ask the question. It might be in your quiz. It might say, what was the cause of Satan's fall? Well, underline the next statement. And we're going to find out this is the same thing as the cause of your fall if you fall. The rebellion was the cause of Satan's fall. Because when Satan rebelled, then he became an enemy of God. But we're going to find out, it's not in this class, in the next class, what was the cause of Satan's fall. And we're going to find out what he did that violated the principle of God that caused him to rebel. And so when rebellion comes, you got to find out what I have to do to rebel. And then you don't want to do that. All right. And so when we find out what Satan did to rebel, we're going to know what not to do. And that's the whole point of this class, not to call you rebellious, but to tell you what not to do. You see it? And once you know what not to do, I come out of a family of 11 children. I'm the baby of 11 children, 11 siblings. And being the baby, I have enough experience to watch what all of them did. Some of them were a lot older than me. Some of them were going out of the house when I was born. Matter of fact, I got a sister. She's still alive today. She's 20 years older than I am. Exactly 20 years older than I am. And so I never really knew she was my sister. Matter of fact, when I was in school, she taught me in school. They tell me, I don't quite remember this, but they tell me that I didn't know, and I would say, that's not my sister. And you couldn't make me know that was my sister because you wasn't in the house with the rest of us like when I was growing up. So you're not my sister. But she was. She wanted to be my mother. Matter of fact, she had a son who was only 1 year younger than me, and he yet called me uncle. Can you imagine having a nephew 1 year younger than you, and he still call you uncle? Well, anyway, my point of saying this is, and my time is about up, and I'm going to end it with this, is that I watched them, and I watched the punishment that they did, that they got, and I saw most of them, not all of them. And I watched what not to do. And in watching what not to do, you knew that if I did this, then I'm going to get that. And so I learned from observation. So even in ministry, I learned. I kept that same trait. People don't know why. And sometimes you submitted so long to your leader. But I watched others make mistakes. And you know what I said? I'm not going to do that. And I said to another one, I'm not going to do that. And when people made this mistake, don't do that. I see it in my inner self. And so I mark those things. And so as we study what the Satan cause of his fall was, it lets us know that we don't want to do certain things. So class, I can't go any further. We're going to try and take up right here where we stopped at on our next class. You've been a good class. you listen so well, and I'll see you next week. God bless.